Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeff Salkin for Eye on the Community. We have two very special guests joining us again in our studio for Eye on the Community, Dr. Samir Nair, a well-known orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Himanshu Patel, who specializes in family medicine. Both doctors are affiliated with and represent Choice Medical Group, the Victor Valley, California area's only locally owned and operated medical group for over 26 years. Welcome back, Dr. Nair and Dr. Patel.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks again, Jeff, for having us.
Today's topic we'll be talking about, which I thought when you recommended it was an incredibly important topic, depression.
Before
we start, as we have in the past, I'd like our guests to introduce themselves again so our listeners know a little bit more about your backgrounds, your specialties, and why you chose healthcare and being caregivers as a calling. Dr. Nair.
Yeah, again, thanks for having us, Jeff. So my name is Dr. Nair. I'm a local orthopedic surgeon. I'm also a local graduate from Granite Hills High School. The reason why I chose healthcare as a field is, I always wanted to help people. This kind of just felt like a natural calling for me.
Thank you.
Well, I'm Dr. Himanshu Patel. I'm not local, but I am now. I'm actually from Canada originally, graduated from the University of Alabama, was recruited by Dr. Nair to come up here to the high desert because I was told that there's a huge need for primary care up here, and there is, and I'm very honored to be here now.
Both of you, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I was reading up on depression and learned that depression never discriminates. It actually affects people you would never, ever imagine would be depressed.
Correct.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the different types of depression? And we've had some recent very high-profile suicides in the United States that may tie into our topic that we want to let our listeners know about and what to be mindful of.
Right. So today's topic is as important as it gets, Jeff. It shouldn't take two celebrity suicides for more people to talk about these issues, but that's how society looks at mental illness. We really don't have a good language, it seems like, for talking about sadness or depression. Depression's really kind of like a blindness that blacks out everything but the worst. Sadness, on the other hand, is a natural and reasonable reaction to the miseries of the world. There's nothing unhealthy about sadness. Sadness and grief are normal human emotions. We all have those feelings from time to time, but they usually go away within a few days. Major depression is something more. It's a period of overwhelming sadness. It involves a loss of interest in things that, used to bring pleasure. These feelings are usually accompanied by other emotional and physical symptoms. Untreated depression can lead to serious complications that put your life at risk. Fortunately, what we'll talk about later in this segment, most people can be effectively treated. I'll leave it to Dr. Patel to talk about the signs, but just to give, the listeners and us all, some staggering facts, these are actually from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. During 2013 to 2016, about 10% of American adults aged 20 and over had depression in a given two-week period. Depression in the United States affects over 18 million adults. That's 1 in 10 people in any given year. It's a leading cause of disability for ages 15 to 44. It's actually the primary reason why someone dies of suicide about every 13 minutes. That's over 41,000 people a year. In comparison, homicide claims less than 16,000 lives each year, according to the 2013 CDC statistics. So, in the news, we're always talking about these homicides and things like that, but mental illness really doesn't get any limelight in the media until, a celebrity, issue arises.
I'm thinking that there is a difference between depression and just having the blues because some things are tougher in life sometimes for a great many people.
Correct.
Dr. Patel, can you let us know a little bit more about what loved ones should be aware of and what family members should look for in the signs of depression?
Absolutely. So I want to start off by saying that depression is a disease. Just like you have diabetes, just like you have hypertension, this is a disease. I get a lot of patients who are very scared to admit that they're depressed because they think it's a sign of weakness. It is not. It is something that sometimes you cannot control. Just like genetic related diabetes. I mean, if you're born to have diabetes, sometimes you're predisposed to having depression. You don't have to have a traumatic experience or something quote unquote bad happen in your life to develop depression. And that's where some people don't understand and they refuse to go to a doctor because they're like, okay, I could shake this off. Or even culturally, they don't believe in depression. And what happens is there's a stigma on it, so people don't seek medical attention. And there's a huge need for the public to be aware about the signs of depression, so they can seek medical attention, go to the doctor, and be treated for it.
With today's fast pace with technology that you can communicate with somebody literally in an instant in the touch of a button, we live in a world where to admit anything negative about yourself is seen by so many as a weakness when actually it's a strength. It's not a weak move to say, I need help. It's okay to not be okay.
Correct.
Could you share a little bit more about what folks should look into for themselves?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, there's various signs of moderate or what we call major depression. And what that is you'll notice that a family member or yourself, you become easily irritated. You know, things that wouldn't bother you previously are now starting to bother you. Minor things. You know, there's this anxiety. There's this cloud, almost like this fog that you can't see clearly. You don't enjoy things that you normally used to. Hobbies that once were pleasurable are no longer enjoyable. And you just don't have the drive to engage in those activities anymore. There's also times where you'll notice that someone or yourself is getting a little bit more angry. They're a little bit more upset, easily agitated, and again over minor things. There's also sleep changes. Some people sleep longer and they feel unrefreshed regardless. So sleeping 10 hours and they wake up and they're still exhausted, like they could take a nap during the afternoon. Now others don't sleep enough. They can't fall asleep, or when they do, they wake up after 2 to 3 hours.
Insomnia.
So there's some insomnia, or you're sleeping too much. So it's either or. And then there's the extremes of it is when you start thinking of you're fixed on death. You know, where you're worried about, you know, something happening to you, and that's a component of anxiety as well. But there's this infatuation on death, and then there's thoughts of guilt, you know, where you feel guilty or ashamed, or you feel that you're inadequate, and then that can lead to thoughts of harming yourself. And these are all major signs of these are signs of depression.
Let's talk about two or three different depression topics.
Sure.
Possibly postpartum depression, of course, for families and for to-be moms or moms who have given birth. Mm-hmm. Depression and what that could lead to with suicide. And then maybe address, I've heard a lot and read a little bit about bipolar. You know, what are signs to look for in those mood swings? How about if we start with postpartum depression?
Right. As an orthopedic surgeon, I think I'll let you talk about that
to
one.
The family doctor.
Dr. Patel. Yeah.
I figured I know you're ready for this one. Well, for postpartum depression, it can manifest in different ways, and it could be just be postpartum blues, where it's a little bit of sadness, kind of not feeling happy. Now, depression, postpartum depression can actually some signs of it can be where you have no bond with your baby, or you just feel depressed and you're sad all the time, where you don't feel like interacting with your child or even family members and feeling like it's the life is sucked out of you.
Almost. Disconnected.
Disconnected is a great symptom, and this can last temporarily. Most a lot of women they have this short period, couple of weeks, and it goes away. But once it's past a certain time frame, it's become postpartum depression. And that's where you should seek medical attention.
Is there everybody who gets depressed, we're human.
Correct.
You know, at what point do you need somebody to step in and say, go see a doctor, right, versus being able to make that choice yourself? I get the sense that if you're depressed, you may be in a thought, in a window of time where you can't make that decision for yourself, so you really do need
right.
those around you, whether it's coworkers or family members to step in.
Right.
I think that may be the most important thing that we get out of this session is that when you're in this depression, you're in this state of mind that you see nothing else but this black wall. You can see nothing past that. So it's one patient of mine actually gave me a really good analogy. She was like, when she was in her state of depression, she was like drowning in an ocean. How can you take someone drowning in an ocean thinking that, they'll be able to put a safety vest on? They're not going to be able to put that safety on. They need someone else there to, give them that safety vest. They need someone there to aid them or push them in the right direction. I think that's what falls back to all of us. We all have a responsibility as a society in terms of family members, friends, colleagues, mentors, that, if we think someone needs that additional help, we should guide them in the right direction. It doesn't mean that, they have to go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Even if they talk to a mentor, sometimes it's just talking through their feelings. But it's our responsibility as a whole to guide people in the right way.
And maybe you've seen this much more than I have, but maybe it's as simple as if you're hesitating to talk to a family member or friend because you don't like conflict or
right.
you're afraid to bring the subject up, maybe, what are one or two questions or things that our listeners could actually say to someone to at least open up a conversation? Because I'd love to give them those tips to help that person help someone.
Right. So with family members asking, another family member who's sad or appears to be depressed, it's really opening up a conversation to say, hey, we've noticed, that things are a little bit different. Instead of being aggressive, like what's wrong with you and getting angry
right,
at them,
right.
that doesn't help. Or, some people are like, just shake it off. What's wrong with you? You're just tough it out. It doesn't work. Depression is an actual disease. It's something you cannot control with just, you're saying, all right, I'm just going to dust it off. And yeah, exactly. You opening up that dialogue and actually just talking and just asking, hey, are you okay? What's on your mind? Asking these open-ended questions is what I say. Will most likely lead the patient and themselves to open up and explain things that will reveal that they are depressed, all the signs and symptoms that we discussed. And that's when the family member should, suggest that, hey, I think we need to go to a doctor for this. And they may decline immediately. I mean, most people get a little defensive when it's new.
Right.
And they get defensive and they say, there's nothing wrong with me.
Exactly. Right.
And that's okay. It's a state of denial and it's a lack of insight into their problem. But once you bring that up and they're ready, when they realize that their life is no longer the same, they will want to seek medical attention. It's like Dr. Nair was mentioning, where if you're drowning, you're looking for help. You're raising your hand, trying to stay afloat. So
and I guess it's a matter of trying to figure out, how do I bring this person from being unconsciously aware,
right?
Correct.
Because they're in denial.
Correct.
To being consciously aware, so that at least they take the first step. What do I do?
Right.
Yeah. And then be there to help guide that person. How does bipolar depression or manic depression fit into this scenario? Because I hear a lot about that when I read and I watch television and hear about these suicides.
This is a very, this diagnosis is not something that you can really easily just, you know, with a snap of a finger diagnose. So because bipolar disorder, there's different phases, you know. There's also something we call hypomania or mania. There's hypomania and mania as well, where there's an elevation of mood. It's actually the opposite of being depressed. There's a sense of, I'm great, you know, the sun is shining.
Euphoria.
I've euphoria.
Euphoric, like exactly. ecstasy, you know.
And then there's the crash. And then you've got that severe depression. So it depends where you catch the signs and symptoms. But sometimes that diagnosis is, you know, if someone comes into my office and they're in that depressive phase, to me, that's just depression. I don't know about that elevation because they rarely ever say, I have this, you know, elevated mood. It's family members that usually say, hey, you know, this person's not sleeping. They're running
right.
around.
They're acting just running like, on like 1,000% energy all the time, just constantly staying awake, doing work. You know, just being hyperactive, really.
Correct. I would think that there's a difference between clinical depression or some, you know, ongoing or just a short-term depression, the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one,
sure,
or you know, and so it's easier to differentiate between.
It is. It's a time frame. Right. It's a time frame. So it's, and the extent or the the extent of how, you know, significant the symptoms are, or how intense the symptoms are. So, I mean, grieving, everyone gets, and it's grieving has all the symptoms of depression, but on a smaller scale. And you know, if it's prolonged, now what the exact time frames are. Now, there's a textbook definitions of it, but. It's if it's prolonged, and your doctor can, you know, discuss this with you, but if it's prolonged, you've entered depression where it's not normal.
There's, you know, and there's nothing weak about struggling with mental illness. Is there a
Absolutely
difference
not.
Between how men address gender differences, how men versus women address identifying, I have an issue that I need to address?
I think there is, but I guess as being a younger, newer doctor, I'm seeing that because of the impact it's making on people's lives with their families, and now with, you know, the social media and the education on the internet as well, people are more open to discuss it. So I'm seeing more men actually bringing up the symptoms rather than saying, I feel depressed. They mention all these. And then that leaves it up to me to ask the question, like, you have the symptoms of depression. Are you ready for treatment? Or, you know, and that's kind of opens up the dialogue. And then they go into the whole, yes, I you're right. I am depressed. So
I have two S's to talk about.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Seasonal depression and sexual depression.
Yep.
You know, those are topics that some people don't think about
right.
or afraid to address in
yes.
society.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about seasonal depression. And if you could segue also into, you know, what does depression have to do with sex?
Sure.
Right.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, so I did my training in Buffalo, New York, and Buffalo, New York, you know, went through two real seasons. One was, you know, summer, and the other one was a miserable winter where, you know, we wouldn't see the sun for 4 to 5 months because of the amount of snow. So seasonal affective disorder was very common in that area. I think probably more common than, you know, the Western coast is, you know, seasonal affective disorder on the East Coast. And that's really related to, you know, how much sun that we have been getting. It's been shown that, you know, getting sunlight provides a lot of, you know, mental and health benefits as well. You know, just getting that sunlight, getting that extra light does change our mood.
Stepping out here in California, just stepping outside on a nice day could
Correct.
Change somebody's
yes.
mood.
It can. I think being outside, being active, we had that topic last time about being physically active and the impact on physical health and your heart health. It plays a huge role on your mental health as well.
Yeah, you know.
And sometimes that itself can really dissipate or minimize the depression. However, that's not a sometimes that's not a cure, and that's where you do need further medical attention and medical help.
What can you suggest to listeners who either might recognize this in themselves right now or in others that they work with or family members to talk to their doctor about what, sure. I mean, how do you start? It sounds like it would be easy, but doctor, I think I'm crazy, or right. some manifestation of manic. How does,
you know,
what would you encourage our listeners to
Jeff,
know
as,
about?
As providers now, we're really looking at, you know, mental health in all our screening forms. We're asking the questions on paper because some people feel more comfortable, you know, writing the answer down instead of bringing it up in a conversation. So a lot of our screening forms are, you know, looking, you know, for depression or sadness or grief. And when we review those, then we're able to, you know, ask the proper questions. We make the patient feel more comfortable. Depression is just not, you know, affects one issue. Depression affects, as a orthopedic surgeon, my total hip and total knee patients, if they have severe depression, they do much worse statistically than, you know, my patients that are happier and things like that. So even in orthopedics, mental health has a big role. The one thing I want the listeners to really understand is that depression affects people from all paths of life. It affects every age group, every profession, every economic class. I don't want our patients to feel alone. And that's the problem with, you know, people who have, you know, depression. They oftentimes feel like they're the only ones affected with this and they're alone. But that's not the case. This is very common and affects all paths of life. I think, you know, with the same topic of, you know, the seasonal affective disorder, technology is great, but at the same time, technology hinders us as well. You know, there's one staggering statistic that 1 in 5 college students actually has depression.
Wow.
Suicide and, you know, severe depressions, very common in graduate education, even affecting, you know, medical students and medical residents. Sometimes that feeling of burnout leads to depression. And I think, you know, with technology, I think social media and technology are some of the most dangerous of these factors as well. I think the excessive use of social media tends to engender impaired social interactions and actually leads to more isolation. That, you know, excessive social media use fosters a certain competition between one's real life and one's virtual life. We see it all the time that people are always, you know, posting on social media, posting, you know, their selfies, taking pictures of their food, things like that, instead of enjoying the moment. You know, whenever you go to a restaurant, it's always interesting to see different, you know, booths where everyone's on their phone instead of talking to each other. We're losing that personal interaction now.
I didn't know how much my thumbs could do when I was growing up.
Right? Yeah. No, exactly. And, you know, we're all so addicted to our smartphone that whenever our smartphone, you know, beeps or rings at night, we wake up to look at that text message or look at that, you know, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, you know, notification, which disturbs our sleep. And without a good quality sleep, we're not getting the proper rest that we need for our mental overall health. You know, so that's the thing. Depression, there's not one simple cause to it. It's multifactorial, with, I think, environment now being, you know, a big player as well.
Correct.
But we have just a couple of minutes left in this healthcare segment. Any final thoughts on depression? And basically, it's okay to be depressed.
Yes.
But take advantage of calling your doctor. Pick up the phone, or if you even have a question, sometimes it's good to just talk this out with a professional. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would like to say that to listeners and even my patients out there, that there is help. And this is something that can be treated. We're willing to work with you and get to that point where bring you back to being normal. It's a slow process. It's not something that's going to be fixed overnight. So work with your doctor. Talk to him about it. There's different treatment modalities. And I think it's something where I want my listeners to know that they're not alone. You know, they have the help. We're here to help them.
Dr. Nair?
Yeah. So on the similar note, I think, you know, as a society, we all have to take the responsibility to help people with these conditions out. We can't leave it to the people, you know, suffering from, you know, these feelings to seek out the treatment. If we know someone that, you know, possibility of having something, we should speak out and try helping and guiding them to the right direction instead of sitting back and saying like, oh, you know, they'll do it on their own terms when they're ready. And they may, you know, say no five times before they say, yeah, you know, let me go talk to them. And this is a chronic issue. This is not something that's going to get solved overnight. But it takes multiple months to really make progress.
Thank you, doctors. You've been listening to Dr. Sameer Nair and Dr. Himanshu Patel from Choice Medical Group, the Victor Valley, California area's only locally owned and operated medical group. Thank you again, and we'll be back for other segments in future Eye on the Community segments. This is Jeff Salkin.
Thanks again,
for having
Jeff.
Us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.